Welcome to the Classic City Sports Podcast.
And McAllister down the left field line. Connor Tate is going to round third. He will score. And rounding third is Blaylock. He will score. And the Dogs rock it off.
If you're looking for the latest Georgia Bulldog news in football, basketball, baseball, and recruiting, then you are in the right place.
It's third down. Bryce Young's career. You need 10. Play clock at 4. From the pocket. Launching downfield. Underthrown and intercepted. Kaylee Ringo has an escort down the sidelines. All the way to the end zone. And Georgia is going to conquer the Crimson Tide.
Hosted by Jeremiah Stoddard and Jonathan Williams.
Georgia on the mountaintop. Demons be gone and the drought is over. National champions at long last.
Just sit back, relax, and prepare yourself for these hot takes you're about to listen to.
All right, welcome back to another episode of Classic City Sports. As always, Jeremiah Stoddard along with Jonathan Williams. Got an exciting one for you today. We got some pretty good Georgia football news for you today that if you've been keeping up with the combine results, there's obviously a big performer of the day and two performers that have had pretty good days overall. So we're going to definitely talk about some of the NFL combine stuff. Going to talk about the big performances from today, and then we'll look ahead to some of the other performances coming up in the next couple of days as it goes through the weekend for the combine itself. And then we're going to do a breakdown fitting. Today was defensive line group for the NFL combine. Well, we're covering the defensive line tonight for our show as the defensive breakdown that we're for the position breakdown that we're going to do this week. That we've been doing over the past, 4 weeks now, Jonathan? We've been doing position breakdowns, I think.
4 weeks, I believe.
I believe it's been about 4 weeks. So we're going to bring another one of those to you guys, and then we're going to wrap it up with King of the Hill. It's an interesting topic. I found out right before the show, made me think a little bit. I think I got my answer for it, and I think I'm going to be ready, but it's going to be a good one. Jonathan, how are we feeling today?
Going good. I mean, I always love the NFL combine season. I love when this time rolls around. You know me, I've been on record on this platform saying that this is the best time of year for sports. It's my favorite time because the Masters are right around the corner. You got March Madness ramping up, college hoops, NFL combine, NFL draft in general. I love this time of year. You get all the sports. MLB baseball's kind of to start to ramp up a little bit. You got spring training and then opening day is going to be here before you know it. So I'm good. I'm loving everything that's going on right now, and I'm just eating it all up. And I'm especially eating up watching Robert Beal and Nolan Smith tear it up at the NFL Combine today, putting up ridiculous numbers. I felt like Nolan Smith would be a strong performer at the Combine. I knew that he was going to interview well because anytime you've heard from Nolan Smith or anytime he gets put in front of a microphone, he talks really well. He's really intellectual. He's very intellectual with his words, and he's just well-spoken, a very well-spoken person. He's someone that you want representing your program or your organization, and that's a good look for someone that's about to get drafted into the NFL. Teams love that. If you have the ability to get put in front of a microphone and you're comfortable and the team is comfortable with you being in that position, that's a big plus for you. But then when you go and slap a sub-4.4 time in the 40-yard event for yourself, that certainly increases your draft stock as well. And then Robert Beal as well, putting on a strong performance in the 40-yard event. Just two dogs that saw a lot of money get thrown their way today or will get thrown their way here in a little bit. And their draft stock just went all ticked up a good bit. I think Nolan Smith might have even projected himself into a first-round pick after today's performance.
Well, he was already in conversation for a first-round pick in general. Like, that's been a conversation. Now, it hasn't been like a lock by any means, but it might have solidified that at this point. And I think it did. Personally, because when you have a guy at his position group running and having what was it? His vertical was a 41.5, which was just freaky as well. And then you add in his speed that he put on tape today. I'm going to break this down for you guys the way that NFL Network put it on their simulcast. So even with his unofficial time, which was a 4.44 40-yard dash. That was faster than Stephon Diggs, who had a 4.46. It was faster than DeAndre Hopkins, who had a 4.57. But that's crazy enough as it is. He outran two of like the best, you know, two of the best wide receivers in the NFL in their combine. But then his official time came in and he ran a 4.39, which is just ungodly for a edge rusher like that. Like that's insane. His official 40 time was faster than Saquon Barkley, who had a 4.40, and faster than Christian McCaffrey, who had a 4.48. Holy crap.
It's just ridiculous. And it's the second year in a row that we've seen now where Georgia players basically show up to the combine and just take over the whole event. Because once everybody saw what Nolan Smith did in the vertical, like his vertical alone, like you said, 41 and a half inches, his vertical alone already got people talking. And right as that was posted, I sent out a tweet and said, "Let the Nolan Smith draft buzz commence." And then he goes on and puts a 4.39 out. And then Robert Beal follows that up and he posts a third best time amongst the D-line group. And now it's like Georgia is all of the talk now at the NFL Combine yet again for the second year in a row because Trevon Walker, Jordan Davis, all of those guys from last year's class did the same thing. It was like a UGA takeover completely at the NFL Combine last year. And now you're starting to see it again. And we haven't even seen guys like Kelee Ringo or Darnell Washington or Bert Jones go yet. And that's only going to increase the conversation and make people say like, what the heck are they doing in Athens that is making them perform so much better than everybody else? Because at this point, the NFL Combine has become one of Georgia's best recruiting pitches because it's a whole weekend now where Georgia players show up in Indianapolis, they go and measure out, they put up freaky test numbers, and the talk around town is, holy cow, I was really impressed with this Georgia player, or Georgia's players really excelled at this. And they're just basically like the whole group entirely is head and shoulders above everybody else. And so it's basically a free advertisement that says, come to Georgia and we'll develop you for the NFL draft better than any other program in the entire country. Not only will we win national championships, not only will you win a lot of games, not only will you be one of the top ranked programs in the country every single year, but you're also going to get your bag by the time when it's all said and done with in college and you're ready to go to the NFL. You're going to get that bag. You're going to be in that top range of prospects and people are going to be talking about you when the NFL draft rolls around. It doesn't get any better than that if you're Georgia right now. If two rings weren't enough to start getting these kids talking or start looking Georgia's way, the NFL combine event surely does for the rest of them.
Yeah, it absolutely does. And it's funny too, because like we all freaked out. You know, we were talking about it as soon as it happened. We were all freaking out when Nolan ran the 4.44, right? Then they cut to him on the sideline at the event and he's pissed off. I mean, he's pissed. Like he does a little interview with somebody and like he's on the phone and I guess somebody's telling him what his time was and he's talking to him and then he literally just like gets off the phone and throws his phone. And his reason is because he got asked the question afterwards and his reason for it was like, well, what was going on? Like, why were you upset? You just posted what still looks like it still would be the best time of the combine for the day. And he goes, I was running 4.3s in training. And so he was pissed off because he was like, that wasn't as fast as I could go because he knew he could put up a 4.3 something. Well, the official time comes in, ends up being a 4.39. He doesn't take his second attempt. Why would you? At that point, you did what you came there to do. You don't need to run again. You are done. And it's just funny because like even a 4.44 was not good enough for Nolan Smith, like because he knew what he could do. And it goes into show what you were just talking about. Like these guys, it shows like they know they can be absolutely the best out there every time. And so that also shows recruits like, hey, you know, just being great isn't good enough. You got to be like top tier excellence. Like there's no other way. Like we're not happy with what something if we know it's not our best. And he knew that wasn't his best. And so he wasn't happy with it until like the official time came in. He goes, oh, I guess it really was my best, like, or one of my best kind of thing. Fun fact for this conversation too, because you were talking about like Georgia players developing and then going on, you know, coming through the program and performing at this high of a level. There's somebody that was at the combine today that's a former Georgia player that did not post near as good of a time, I will say. A current former Florida Gator at this point, Britton Cox, ran a 4.85 for perspective. He was also a five-star huge recruit in high school. Florida didn't develop him into that speed demon, I guess. Maybe it's just that Georgia, I don't know.
He was too busy throwing punches on the field during the Florida-Georgia game, I guess, to hinder that.
Getting outran by Stetson making him look stupid. So, you know,
I think it's great too for Nolan because, you know, Nolan Smith was the number one prospect in America for that 2019 class. He was the number one guy in that class, five-star prospect. And he comes to Georgia and there's, you start having these conversations of, well, he's not living up to the hype of a number one player. He's not exactly producing like the best player in the nation should be by now in year three or whatever. And I think he would have produced, I mean, he was on track for a hellacious, I mean, a ridiculous season this past year before he ended up having his season cut short. I mean, he was putting up ridiculous numbers in the first half of the season. Then, like I said, he had that shoulder injury and didn't get to play for the rest of the season. So he was, I think the last season would have been a really good measuring stick. It would have been a huge year.
Yeah,
for sure. Of like, okay, he earned that right. But now the combine shows that Nolan Smith was without a doubt one of the best players in that class. He's proving it right now, and he's going to end up representing Georgia really well. But you know, you talking about how he outcompeted another former Georgia player or whatever at the NFL Combine. One thing, you know, for the longest time, for a long, long time, pretty much you and I's entire lives, it's been Alabama's the measuring stick when it comes to the NFL Combine or these NFL draft prospects or for college football in general, like of developing elite players. Well, a player today who many consider the best player in America and have considered the best player in America for the past two seasons, Will Anderson, who was a part of this defensive line group, came out here and he ran a 4.68. I think it was a 4.68, I believe. So now you're kind of seeing this transition period of, okay, Alabama's players are not testing as well as they used to. Even the cream of the crop of Alabama's players, a Will Anderson, a one percenter, if you will, at that position, is not testing as well as a Robert Beal or a Nolan Smith at the University of Georgia. So now it seems like we're having this shift. We're having this transition of Georgia starting to become the team that everybody wants to measure themselves against, because Georgia's becoming the team that consistently puts in these guys every single year, whether it be the former number one player in the country from his class or Robert Beal, who's still a really good athlete and a really good prospect, but of course not like a Nolan Smith coming out of high school. But nonetheless, he still goes out there and shows out just as much, and he gets his name start getting out there in the mix as well. It makes people say, hold up, this Robert Beal guy just ran a 4.4. Let me go turn the tape back on and see what he did in college, and gets his name in people's minds. And that means a lot now with about a month left until the draft rolls around. So now it's like Georgia is now what everybody's focusing on, and Georgia is the king when it comes to NFL draft prospects, and is the king when it comes to showing up when it matters most at the NFL Combine.
For sure. And speaking of that, like, this is last year we got to watch guys like, you know, Trayvon Walker just absolutely pole vault themselves up the draft boards. None of us that have, you know, we talk all the time about it. We watch every Georgia game. We, you know, in depth, we see all of this stuff. Never would have picked him as being that type of like talent in the NFL draft, and ended up being that way because of how he performed at the combine. This year is going to be interesting to see how that kind of stuff goes too, because what you just hit on right there, Robert Beal out here just putting on a show. So they go back and look at his tape. Guess one of the things they're going to realize, hey, two seasons ago, he led the team in sacks. Hey, he's a rocket coming, you know, when he blitzes, like he's got his hair on fire, just flying through there. Like they will see some of the stuff on tape that they may not have seen because they weren't really looking at him. Because in the past couple seasons, yeah, he led the team in sacks, but it was like quietly. Like you almost did, like he wasn't really, he was almost not even a starter in that season. And like he was putting up that kind of production because he was making the best out of the opportunities that he got. It's going to be interesting to see where he falls in this draft. And I bet it's higher than most people would have possibly thought at the time going into it. So it's going to be interesting to see how it works, but let's do this real quick to get into it, because we're going to talk more of the NFL draft or the combine and who else is there. I'm going to just read off the list of every player that is there. The order of it is just going to be based on like the Georgia like graphic that they posted where it actually showed everybody going. So I'm not making up an order. I'm just going off this. So Robert Beal, Stetson Bennett, Jalen Carter, which obviously we know what's going on there, so we're not getting into that one today. Kyaris Jackson, Broderick Jones, Warren McClendon, Kenny McIntosh, Jack Podlesny, Keely Ringo, Chris Smith, Nolan Smith, and Darnell Washington. Some big, big names coming up tomorrow. Keely Ringo, Chris Smith, and Jack Podlesny are all going tomorrow, correct?
Yep.
Big day. That's a big day right there.
Oh, no doubt. And Joe, I see you in the comments saying, what are we thinking, Ringo will run in the 40? Look, I thought, I told Stoddard this before reckless. We got on the show. I told Stoddard before we got on the show, I said, I thought Nolan might hit 4 or 5. I thought that's kind of what his ceiling was. And I thought that would be a really good time for Nolan. If he clocked in at that, I thought that'd be a really solid time for him. And then, of course, he goes up there and blows us all away and does the impossible. I'm here to tell you, and Stoddard and I both agreed with this, don't be shocked if Ringo goes out there and runs 4.2. Don't be shocked if that happens. There's already been discussions about it. He kind of projected himself in that range already because he basically said, you know, why not shoot for the moon? Why not try and reach that type of goal? With the measurements that's been coming out about his top speed reaching like 23 miles per hour while training for the NFL Combine, I would not be shocked at all if Kelee Ringo clocks in a 4.2 in the 40-yard event tomorrow.
I almost think he should, because I'm pretty sure there was a thing that came out of maybe a month ago or a couple weeks ago, and it was like, I'm pretty sure it was a laser time, and I think it was it's somewhere in the 4.2s. It was somewhere in the 4.2s. I want to say mid 4.2s. Like, it was stupid. I mean, like, it was absolutely like stupid fast. So it's going to be interesting to see how that plays out.
I saw today on the little runner that they had at the bottom of the combine where I think Kelee Ringo was the number 5 corner on the list. He goes out there and runs a 4.2. Go ahead and put him in that top three range for sure. Because he's going to measure out ridiculous for his position. We know Kelee Ringo has tremendous size for his position. And then you're going to go ahead and pair that up with his incredible speed. Like, that's all the stuff you cannot teach a corner to have. You cannot teach their size, you cannot teach their speed, and you cannot teach their instincts. Kelee Ringo has all of that. And so if you think that the NFL organizations will go out there and watch him run a 4.2 and not take him in the first round, then you're full of yourself, because that's a no-brainer almost. If you need a cornerback, why not go get a Kelee Ringo? You can fix everything else. People talk about, oh, Kelee Ringo got burned. Kelee Ringo can't do man coverage. Yada, 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 yada. Whatever. Kelee Ringo has everything that you can't coach a corner to have, and that's what really matters. So he's definitely has some money to make for himself tomorrow. I think he's going to do it, and I think he's going to solidify himself as a first rounder as well tomorrow.
Yeah, and I know a lot of, like, even Georgia fans, you know, they'll talk about Kelee Ringo, and, you know, they think that he gets beat a lot, and there's been some plays that he's given up at times, but sometimes, you know, if you're really watching the tape of the, or like the game, the replays, and you start paying attention to what his job responsibility seems to be, you know, sometimes he's playing 10 yards back on a guy because that's what he's being asked to do. And so obviously when they run something quick and short over the middle, he's going to get beat on that. You know, the biggest things is you're hoping you don't see him get ran by. You know, that's what you don't want to see. And he's not really going to get run by. Zach in the comments saying he might run a 4.23. I mean, that's like... Good Lord, that's fast. I mean, I'm not saying he can't do that. I'm saying that's just whatever he puts up, it is going to be insane. And like you said, he's going to, in every facet of it, he's going to measure as, like, he's probably going to measure as the best corner in the comp, like at the combine, as far as speed, you know, strength, you know, his vertical is probably about to be stupid, you know, as well. Like, it's going to be a lot. It's going to be fun to see what he actually puts on tape. Going to be interested to see what Chris Smith puts on tape, you know, or puts on in the number columns when he's getting measured like this. Like, that's going to be something I'm interested to see, because we love the guy. We've seen him perform extremely well over the past few seasons and really come onto the scene over the past two seasons. I'm excited to see where he measures against the nation's best. That's what I'm looking forward to.
Yeah, I think with Christopher Smith, the tape looks great. Everything about his college tape looks phenomenal. Just his leadership, his down to his instincts, just playmaking ability all over the field. What he did at safety was special for Georgia. That is a special football player right there. Christopher Smith is a one of one almost of what he was able to do at the safety position. And that came with a lot of time put in the offseason with watching film repeatedly. It came with a lot of time put into that. He did that to himself. He allowed him to continue to rise during his time at Georgia. But the thing for Christopher Smith is he's not the biggest dude out there. He's probably not your typical size of who you want as an NFL safety. But what he can do is he can go in there and play nickelback for an NFL team. He can do that. He has great coverage skills, and he can do that. So for him to really increase his draft stock, he's definitely going to have to test well tomorrow, do all that good stuff for him. in all the events that he'll perform in. So, you know, he's not going to blow people away with his height or weight necessarily, but what he will blow people away with is what he put on the film, and then also what he's able to do tomorrow if he can really show out, which, I mean, heck, like we've said, Georgia players have proven that they can do that. And Christopher Smith is more capable of doing it himself. Yeah,
for yeah, sure. He could come out there and run something that surprises us as well. You never know what you're going to get with these guys. Few other names to really look at. Yeah, like, it's always interesting to see when you get like special teams guys going to the combine, you know, like Pod Lesney. I mean, I'm about to, Dan's going to hate me for this. Does it really matter what a kicker runs? And like, it's cool if they're fast, right?
Kamara last year.
Kamara ran 4-4? Kamara, yeah, 4-4. He ran a 4-4 last year.
just to screw with everybody, say like, yeah, it ain't just Jordan Davis. It ain't just Trevon Walker. The special teams got it too, man. We all got it. It's the Georgia thing. Yeah. It's a Georgia thing, baby.
They just got speed, man. No, I remember when he did that when last year, and everybody was freaking out. Was like, dude, the freaking punter. It's like, just good lord. You had already seen Jordan Davis go off, you know, Trayvon Walker. You'd already seen all these other guys just absolutely go off. And it felt like every time you saw a Georgia player, like Devontae Wyatt last year, every time you saw a Georgia player go last year, it was like, Jesus, that's what they're doing? Oh my goodness. And then like the punter comes up, nobody's paying too much attention. All of a sudden he runs some freaky number and it's like, oh, okay. We see what it is. Kamara.
You gotta love it. One last curtain call. That's a great stuff,
yeah, right? He got a good one right there.
I mean,
so no, I don't know what Pod Lesney's gonna do tomorrow, but at the end of the day, you never know. We'll see. He might put something crazy out there.
You never know. For sure. Yeah, still a lot of good names left on that list, still a lot of combine left to go. And
obviously everyone's looking to see what Stetson does. You know, honestly, everyone's probably just waiting to see what he, you know, his height and weight.
Mm-hmm.
You want to see his height and weight, but you want to see the same thing for Bryce Young kind of thing. Like, you want to see where these two guys come in.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you that's not going to be – Stetson's probably taller.
Boy, yes, I already know. Twitter is going to be popping once that comes out. Once they find out – and it's going to be great too, because it's going to end up being like a quarter of an inch. Like, Stetson's taller than him by a quarter of an inch. And people are still just going to run with it and say, like, we told you so. We told you that Stetson was taller than Bryce Young.
Well, when did it come out – I think it was Todd McShay was talking about it. And I think he hasn't been measured out yet, but this was like last week. I think I saw something where they were trying to say that Bryce Young was like 5'10 and 2/4 or something like that. I don't remember. So like 5'10 and a half. I don't remember what it was, but it was something short, obviously. It was under 5'11. If that's the case, then Stetson definitely could be in that same range. And it is going to be really, really funny. You're right, because social media is going to blow up when that comes out. And I'm going to just be dying laughing the whole time.
It's going to be fantastic. Content that day is going to be fantastic. But enough talk about the NFL Combine. We'll have plenty more to discuss in our later episodes, because everybody will have gone through their measurements, ran their 40 times.
Next week will be a good recap episode. Yeah.
Absolutely. We'll have plenty to talk about once that rolls around. But now we have another position. We took it to Twitter, as we have for the past couple of weeks. We took it to Twitter, asked you guys what you wanted us to break down. And the people said that they wanted interior defensive line. And I am really excited about this one. I think this is a great position group, because we can't – for this group this year, we can't just come here and say what we've said for some of the other position groups. Like, oh, they're going to be okay. You know, like, they're really good. Blah, 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 blah. I think the interior defensive line specifically is really interesting for this next year, because for the past 4 years, basically, you've had Jordan Davis, you've had Devontae Wyatt, and you had Jalen Carter. And then even when Jordan Davis and Devontae Wyatt left for the NFL, you still had Jalen Carter on the roster for this past season. Well, now all of those guys are gone. And so this is the first year where we will get to see how is Georgia going to not necessarily replace those guys, because you don't replace Jalen Carter. You don't replace Jordan Davis. You don't really replace a Devontae Wyatt. You don't replace those type of guys. You just do what you can to fill the void. And I think Georgia has a lot of talent there at the position. Bear Alexander showed a lot of promise, for one, in his true freshman season this past year. I think Nazir Stackhouse is really solid. Zion Logue is a really solid person as well. You got Jordan Hall, who we've mentioned on this platform before, as a true freshman coming in this year, who could possibly sneak in some playing time as well. I think, and then, you know, Trey Scott has done a phenomenal job with the defensive line specifically. Oh, he's done a phenomenal job developing. He's done a great job recruiting. So it's not a position of worry. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying here to throw up the red flags and say, all right, here you go. Here's the big question mark on Georgia's roster. But I am really intrigued and excited to see what this roster is looks like and what that position specifically looks like without these one percenter super all-star alien humans like Jalen Carter are, like what you do without those guys. That's kind of what I'm interested to see. So I think it's great too, because it's going to bring in a lot of competition, because there's a lot of playing time to be eaten up now and be taken up by these other guys that have been fighting for some playing time for a long time now and have been playing behind those guys that I listed for the past 3 to 4 years.
Yeah, and so to give you guys the names that we will be looking at as options, and this is no particular order as well, just reading them off of my notes here. So you got Nazir Stackhouse, Zion Logue, Bear Alexander, Sean Washington, Jamal Jarrett, Warren Brinson, Christian Miller, and a personal favorite, Jordan Hall. I mean, just some dudes.
Jamal Jarrett, that's another good name that I didn't mention. Jamal Jarrett's another true freshman that you could see starting to sneak in there pretty early on.
Yeah, defensive line like group is a spot, like, you know, when you haven't, even when you did have, you know, Jordan Davis, they rotated guys in a good bit, and that's why you knew who you had. That's why you saw so many of them do so well in the same seasons, right? You got Jordan Davis and Devontae Wyatt going out there, and Jalen Carter was still on the roster. He wasn't technically starting, but he was out there so much because they were rotating him through. He basically was starting as well. So you'll see a few, like several of these guys, you'll see young guys get a chance to go out there. And Bear Alexander's been, you know, impressing, you know, as of late. We've talked about him a good bit at different times. Like he's done some, you know, he's put some stuff on tape already for you to see. Stackhouse, Zion Logue, those guys have some experience out there already. It'll be interesting to see certain names, like the younger names, right? Like you just said, Jamal Jarrett, Jordan Hall, and even Christian Miller getting out there more often this year is going to be something that I'm really excited to see. Warren Brinson, we've seen a good bit from him overall, so we know what he can do too.
Yeah, Warren Brinson for sure. I am really intrigued about Christian Miller. Obviously, people were really high about him as a prospect, just finished up his true freshman season, coming into year two now. You know, sometimes it takes a little bit to get adjusted. You didn't see much of him this past year, and that's okay. Like I said, true freshmen have growing pains just like anybody else doing anything else in this world. In your first year of doing something, there's growing pains. It's a process. You got to adapt to things, maybe the pace of game a little bit or whatever else. Just adapting to a whole new defense and the college level in general, just a lot of change going on. So now going into year two for him, interested to see how much we see of him this next year, what he develops into as the spring rolls around. If we start hearing his name rumblings about him really impressing in practice and whatnot. So there's just a lot of names that you got to watch for at this defensive line position. That's a good thing. It's a good thing to have a lot of names to be paying attention to when spring rolls around. It's not necessarily a good thing when it's like, okay, we got these two guys, have no freaking clue what we're going to have past that. Clearly, there's a lot of depth that Georgia has this year at defensive line. Is it young? Yes, there are a lot of young names in the list that we keep spewing off right now. But there's still a lot of experience sprinkled in with those names. You know, I've always said, like, Georgia's defense, a big strength for Georgia this past year was not only did you have young phenoms like Malachi Starks and Michael Williams, but you also had mixed in experience along with a Christopher Smith or a Nolan Smith or a Robert Beal or Jalen Carter. And that's exactly what you have with this defensive line group. You have a Zion Loke who's been around for a while. You have Nazir Stackhouse who's been around for a while. You have Warren Brinson who's been around for a few years now, along with a Bear Alexander who's entering his second year, or a Christian Miller entering his second year, or a Jordan Hall or Jamal Jarrett going into their freshman year. So it's just a good mesh of a lot of different kind of people and different points of their career. And that's a great thing if you ask me.
It is. It's depth. It's, you know, you see the progression. You know, I think you put this thing out on Twitter a couple weeks ago and you were talking about like different position groups at Georgia and how there's just constantly the next guy. And you listed like six
every
positions,
single time.
You know, each one you would go like three deep on, and it's like consecutive, and they're, you know, drafted in the first few rounds and stuff like that. And just, or just, you know, they're a household name almost, like they're just always good. Everybody's good. That's what you're going to see here too. You're going to see these guys that have been waiting for their chance to be on the field as much as, you know, Jalen Carter's gotten to be, as much as Jordan Davis got to be, that kind of stuff. You're going to see those guys get those opportunities and show you, hey, there's a reason we're on this roster. Kirby does not keep people out here that's not good. Like, there's a reason we're still here. Mm-hmm. This is what we're here to show you now. And they're going to show you why, and you're going to love it. I'm going to love it. It's going to be great to see. But you're also going to see these young guys continue to develop. You know, you're going to see them, even if they don't get on the field that much, right? Like, we saw Bear Alexander a few times. We didn't see him a ton, but he was a freshman. He was on the field, you know, quite a few times. And then Kristen Miller, we saw him a few times last year. So we'll get to see Jordan Hall a few times. We'll get to see Jamal Jarrett a few times. How much we get to see him, I don't know. But even if we only see him in like two or three games, they're still like they're learning so much behind the scenes. They're providing support in other ways, even if it's like on the practice squad, you know, playing as a two, you know, two deep or something like that. Like that stuff is so important for this roster as a whole and this position group alone. I'm excited for the future of it. It's we don't have like you this year. We don't get to go, oh, we got Jalen Carter. Yeah, we lost Jordan Davis, but Jalen Carter, you know, a lot of people talked about he might be better than Jordan Davis kind of thing. That was like what that was the talk after Jordan Davis left. Carter might be better. Well, we don't have a guy that is necessarily like that because Jalen Carter was a freak as a freshman. Like his freshman year, you had to have him on the field. You know, he had to get out there. His sophomore year, you could barely keep him off the field outside of, you know, you had to keep guys like Jordan Davis and Devontae Wyatt out there. Like you knew you had these guys, you know, or him just waiting and just chipping away, trying to get on the field as much as possible. And making it extremely hard to keep him off the field. We haven't had that guy in, you know, right now, but that doesn't mean that one of these guys aren't about to just blow up. And I'm excited to see what happens.
Absolutely. And Trey Scott, I mean, this year he was named as Rivals top recruiter in the country, I want to say. I believe he was awarded that title for this past year, for this past recruiting cycle. So you know what he's about. You know what he's been able to do. He's revamped Georgia's defensive line. He's done an impeccable job in kind of putting the pieces back together and adding a lot of depth to that position and a lot of talent in a very short amount of time. So as long as Trey Scott is on this coaching staff, Georgia's defensive line is going to be in good hands. He's done a great job with every single one of them. This is going to be the second year in a row where he has a first rounder from the defensive line. So after going like 13 years without having a single defensive lineman taken in the NFL draft, so it's pretty remarkable stuff what he's been able to do for Georgia, and I know Georgia fans are thankful for him, as you should be. Trey Scott should be getting all his flowers, all of the thank yous, everything. He should be getting as much praise as anybody else on that coaching staff for sure for the job that he has done. So another great position breakdown, another lot of names. I know we always throw a lot of names at you guys just because we want to go in-depth as much as possible. We feel as if it is our job to make you guys more aware of these names. Maybe some names that you forgot, like maybe you forgot about Kristen Miller, or maybe you forgot about Sean Washington or some of those other names that we listed, or maybe you already forgot about these recruits that we got in the 2023 class, because you know that happens. There's so many names on a roster that you can't keep up with all of them.
In the recruiting class especially, like some of the young, like the freshmen coming in, because you and I talked about this a few days ago or maybe last week or something like that. It was like, man, Georgia's recruiting classes are so good every year that like it just doesn't like you it's like expected, so you don't necessarily realize how good some of these guys that Georgia's getting are, because you're absolutely so desensitized at this point under Kirby Smart that every year you're expecting a top three class, and he gives you a top three class. So yeah, there's going to be some guys that get lost in the depth chart, because if you're doing that every single year, you forget about some of these names, these young guys on the off the top of my head, I could not spit out every single, you know, player from this class. I would have to think about it and probably look it up. Like
it's my job, and even I couldn't. So
that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. Like it, but every single one of the guys that are in that class could be special. You know what I mean? And so it's easy. Sure. The point, it's easy to forget who you have because you've become so desensitized to how good recruiting classes actually are.
Heck, it's even to the point where, like you just said, like you never know what's going to happen to these players, because now Georgia has become what seems to be the standard for three-star recruits and developing those guys. You know, Javon Ballard, a former three-star recruit who's just booming right now. It's every single – Eric Stokes was a three-star, and he ended up being a first-round draft pick. So, like, it happens every single year now. It just seems like it. So it doesn't matter what rank they are in the country. A Ladd McConkey, for crying out loud. It doesn't matter what their ranking is or how many stars they have or what rank they are in the state of Georgia or wherever state they come from. It doesn't matter, because they all have the potential at Georgia to become something very special. So it's just, there's a lot of names. So that's why we're here. That's why we're breaking down every single position for you guys, to refresh these names a little bit, to kind of give you a look of, this is who you probably need to watch for. This is probably what the names that you're going to be seeing this season. And this is kind of what the current status of the room is heading into spring. So we're going to keep doing it. I know, Zach, eventually we are going to get to special teams. We will. I promise. We will give you the longest breakdown that we possibly can about Jared Zirkle and about Brett Thorson and all of those guys. Maybe even throw in some recruiting nugs about the long snappers that we have. So we'll do our best to give you in-depth breakdowns for every single position. There's still a lot of great ones left on the list. We haven't hit tight ends yet.
There's so much off-season time, guys. It's one position group at a time. It's going to take us a while to get through it, but that's also going to continue to give us content. Yeah, exactly. We want to give you a reason to come back and watch us next week, right? Hopefully you want to see. And Zach, you want to see the special teams? You got to keep watching. Eventually we're going to give it to you, I promise.
Eventually, we'll be sitting here talking about your special teams guys, the ones that you've been waiting on. But we will eventually get to every single position. We promise we will break them down for you, just like we did tonight. But now it's time to move on to another fun segment, another segment of King of the Hill. We've been on a streak now. We've been doing it for the past 3 weeks, I want to say. And I got another great topic for you, Stoddard. I considered not telling you the topic until we were live in the show. But I felt this is one that needed to marinate in your brain a little bit, kind of let you think about it, get some names rolling. Sorry, we're not just sitting here looking at you blank stare going, the whole time trying to think of someone. So I gave you a fair warning about what the topic was. And I got this one. I believe I saw it on Twitter. Maybe it was tweeted by a MLB account. I don't even know. I don't think it was the MLB, but I think it was one of those variations of MLB. And we're not going to keep it strictly baseball. This can be for any team of yours, the Georgia Bulldogs, Atlanta Braves, Atlanta Hawks, Atlanta Falcons, whoever. So wide branch of variety here. But the question is, who is a player from one of your teams that is considered a legend but was not necessarily that good?
All right, I'm going first.
Yeah, you're going first. I asked you the question. You're going first.
All right, yeah. So also, it's extremely smart of you to have given me at least right before we went live, like 5 minutes before we went live, he told me. So it gave me a little bit of time to think about it. Even as we're doing all this other stuff, it gave me a little bit of time to process what I wanted to say. If you had told me on the spot, it probably would have taken me a minute because that's a thought provoking question, right? Like it's, mm-hmm, you actually have to get kind of a deep dive.
I sat there this morning and thought about it for probably 10 minutes.
Yeah. See, it you needed a little bit of time for it. One thing you did mention earlier on was, you know, you said something about the Braves and stuff like that. So it kind of, that's what triggered this memory for me as well. A player on the Braves that is a legend at this point that definitely didn't have like an overall solid Braves career because he was only here for a year, and his entire career in general is not, it's good. It's just not like legend type status. Jock Peterson. His role that he played on the team a lot of times was behind the scenes, and like the speech that he gave to the team, like the story about him getting on the bus, like and talking to the guys, and basically, you know, the whole quote, everybody knows the quote that Jock Peterson gave you, can't say it on air here. And but at the parade, if you watched, he dropped the mic after he said it and everybody lost it. You know, he was not even starting in the World Series and stuff. He played some games and he had everyone in the stands, grown men, wearing pearls on their neck. That's the type of like legacy that he will always have, to the point where the Braves championship ring has pearls on it because of him. That's insane.
Absolutely. That's a good name. You went way more recent than I did with the list of my names. Because when I heard that question, I immediately went to my childhood, because me as a child, like, I've formulated all of my opinions about players based on how they performed in my video game. Like, however they were doing in my dynasty on my Xbox, that's how good I thought they were. So, like, names like Yanel Escobar, who was the shortstop for the Braves for a while, I thought he was an all-timer, Hall of Famer. He was the best because homie was hitting probably 500 on my dynasty team with 50 home runs or something ridiculous like that. So, to me, he was an all-timer. But you can go look back at his career. He really wasn't all that great. He wasn't as legendary as I thought he was. Zach, right. You're looking for some good names in the comments. Tim Hudson, that's certainly a good one. Charlie Culberson, that's certainly another good name right there. Charlie Culberson was a great bench bat for the Braves. Again, not necessarily all that great, but he certainly stamped himself into a lot of Braves fans' minds for the rest of eternity. But, you know, Escobar was one. And personally, my favorite one that I think I'm just going to really stick with is Evan Gattis, because Evan Gattis was kind of with the Braves during that period of time where it was a transition where, okay, it looks like we're going to kind of blow things up a little bit. We're going to go into a rebuild. It's going to suck for a while, but stick with us for 5 years, but it's going to suck for a while. And he was kind of in that period of time. He had the awesome nickname of El Oso Blanco. He went up to in the batter's box with no batter's gloves, old school, just bare hands and some pine. That was it. And he hit nukes. That's all he did. That's all Evan Gattis did. He caught some balls behind home plate, and he crushed the baseball. So, but then after his stint with Atlanta, he went to Houston, and I don't know if he went anywhere else after that. And he had some okay numbers, but man, it was a joy watching Evan Gattis. And he wasn't all that great. He wasn't necessarily your Sean Murphys or your Travis Darnos or your JT Realmutos or anything like that. But in my mind,
a fan favorite,
absolutely, and he will always be a fan favorite. For sure.
Well, he had guys in Georgia. You know, I just talked about, you know, Jock Peterson and the Pearls, and no, he had guys in Georgia wearing like these like polar bear hats in August in Georgia.
August in Atlanta.
I mean, this dude
some bad times, but it was dark times.
Yeah. It was but that's, you know, that's what made 2021 so special for Braves fans. Getting to see all, like everything just kind of wipe away. Same thing for Georgia football, right? You know, you got to see that championship finally. And so it made everything so worth it when it was all said and done. Like you look back on those times and you're like, this is what we were happy about back then. But now, like, it's crazy to think about that. It's been good
time. I got some Georgia names that I'm going to say right now. I was trying to think of, like, who's a Georgia guy that I can say this about? But
Kyle Korver's a good name too.
But Kyle Korver was pretty freaking good. He was good. Yeah, I mean, he's one of the all-time greatest three-point shooters. So I don't know if he classifies in that range of legendary, but not all that good. But the one, my mind that just went to a name for Georgia, Brendan Douglas. In that season where Sony Michel was hurt, Nick Chubb had that season-ending injury, and it was literally J.J. Green and Brendan Douglas toting the rock for the Bulldogs. But boy, did they show! I mean, he has that memorable picture against Missouri where he's flipping over the dude into the end zone.
Yeah, he's flipping. Yeah. Feet overhead.
And now he owns a Little Caesars in Athens. So boy, he's still living his life in Athens, living the full life as any person would post life of a Georgia football athlete. But I think that's a really solid name for a guy that was like Georgia fans, especially around our age, will always remember him. Wasn't all that great? Wasn't Todd Gurley status? Wasn't Nick Chubb status? But you will always remember the name of Brendan Douglas. Like, whenever you see his name, you'll be like, oh, man, and hopefully have good memories of him.
Yeah, I think that's a good one, too. It's hard to come up with some Georgia names for me. So that's why I kind of shied away from going, because it's hard for me to look at Georgia players and say, loved the guy, but he wasn't that great kind of thing. So I always find it really hard. So that's why I kind of shied away, because it's just, I love all of the guys coming through. So it's hard to.
Another one. Prather Hudson, and the only reason why he would be considered a legend is for when he nailed Laura Rutledge.
Twitter.
He nailed Laura Rutledge on the sidelines and then hits her up on Twitter and says, but I'll pick you up at 5 tomorrow, whatever it was. Hilarious, great Twitter content.
Yeah,
Twitter
was
always providing good laughs. So I think that's another name you can throw into that mix for sure.
Yeah, that's a fun one too, because that story, I was literally 3 feet from where that happened when it happened too. I almost got laid out myself kind of thing. So that one's always,
I don't
a
think
fun
Prather
story.
Would be picking you up at 5. The
he
next
would
day,
not.
I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm. He would not be picking me up at 5 the next day. Not at all. He would have probably not even responded to me if I said something on Twitter about it. So, but that's okay. I don't look like Laura Rutledge. I'm not famous. I'm not, you know, important like that, but either way,
not yet.
Keep following the podcast. Maybe one day.
Maybe we'll get there.
Sheesh.
All right, guys. Well, I think that ends another great King of the Hill segment, and I think that ends another great podcast. Again, a straight 45 minutes of NFL Combine content, and then we broke down the interior defensive line. We did edge rushers a couple episodes back, so if you missed that one and you want to hear us talk about those edge rushers and what's that looking like for Georgia the next coming years, go back and watch the episode. We do the same thing that we did with interior defensive line. If you are still here watching us, whether you're live or if you're 2 days later watching us again, we appreciate you. And make sure to hit that like and subscribe button before you head your way on out of here. We really appreciate all the support that you guys continue to show us. The people like Zachary and Joe and Dan who are in here in the comments tonight that were showing support throughout the entire episode. We appreciate all of you guys who show up during the live episodes. We love interacting with you guys and reading the comments. We always appreciate that. And that is going to do it for you guys. We'll keep you posted on what the schedule is going to look like for next week. You know, we kind of have to flip-flop every now and then due to it's off-season. Times are busy. I'm a student at the University of Georgia. Stoddard has his own life, as of course, outside of the podcast, doing his own work. So schedules can get kind of conflicted, but if you follow us on Twitter, we will always update you guys on when we are going to go live. So do all that good stuff for us. And Stoddard, you can close us out.
Yeah, and like he just said, I appreciate everybody's patience on it. We are a day late on the show this week. We try our best to stay on schedule, but like he said, sometimes
honestly, probably
get
a good thing that we went a day late, or else we wouldn't have gotten to talk about Nolan Smith.
I'm happy we did. You know, maybe this is one that we might have actually planned to kind of change our time on. And like I said, maybe next week we do it at a different time as well, because it'll be after like all the stuff comes in. So stay tuned over the weekend as we talk about it, and maybe we will come alive a little bit sooner. Then, you know, maybe we're a little bit sooner than Wednesday next week. So stick around. We will get you all of that information. But as always, keep it classy in the Classic City, and we will see you guys next week.
Thank you for listening to this week's episode of Classic City Sports. Take a second to subscribe, rate, review, and share with your friends and family. Feel free to reach out to the Classic City Sports Crew on Twitter with any topics you'd like discussed. You can reach out to Jeremiah at The Stoddfather, to Jonathan at Dr_JWill, and make sure to follow at Classic City Pod for show updates. Check back next week for a brand new episode. In the meantime...